You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Ready to get blessed?
Amen.
I got something stirring in me. Actually, I've been digging around on this and studying this. And do I?
I said preaching it to me.
Preaching it to Brenda. You know, I preach it. Brenda hears sermons twice. You know, she hears them before I get here and then after I get here. So that's why she's so good.
Amen.
Because she hears me twice as much as y'all do. we kick a lot of stuff back and forth, you know, just talking the word all the time. We actually do that when we leave the church. You know, that's amazing to me. I had an evangelist one time ask me, Brenda was talking about listening to a teaching tape, you know, years ago before they came out with CDs and everything. And he was an evangelist. I mean, he was a teacher, great teacher. And he says, "Your wife listens to teaching tapes?" I said, "Yeah, why? What do you mean? You mean like, I mean, after other ministers and like besides in church, when she, during the week she listens to teaching tapes?" I said, "Duh." I said, "Doesn't your wife listen to teaching tapes?" "No, she never listens to any teaching tapes." I said, "Are you kidding me?" I said, "That's a bigger wonder to me than, you know, I mean, here we are. We love the Word. We you know, Brenda's reading books about, you know, teaching books. She reads her Bible every day. Amazing. Pastor's wife reads her Bible every day. Listens to CDs and other ministers. And is there any other way to live? I don't know. Is there supposed to, we're not supposed to do that? You know, we talk about the Word all the time during the week. Love the Word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
A couple of you like that. That's good. You know, I tell you, if you want success in your life and you want peace and you want confidence and not to say bad things don't happen, of course they do in this world. It's a broken, fallen world.
Yes.
But if you want strength to get through those times, hey, you need to live the Word. You need to love the Word. Yes. You need to, you know, talk about it all the time. In fact, we're going to get into some of that tonight, some of these scriptures. But it's important that the Word has first place in your life and in my life. And that's not just on Sundays and just on Wednesday nights. It should be a part of our life. It should be the first thing we think about when a situation arises. What does God say? You know, what should I do here? It's our gauge. It's our governor. God's Word is our. It instructs us. It paves the way for us to walk in. It tells us how to act. And at the end of the day, a lot of times I have to repent because it didn't line up. I didn't line up with what He said. And I have to ask Him, "Forgive me, you know, and I didn't do that right. God, forgive me. You know, help me with that." The Word is my life. It's your life. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes, sir.
Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter. Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter. I want to get into something here that real common in a Jewish person's life. In fact, there's a couple of things I'm going to say about that as we get into this message. This passage of Scripture that we're going to read here is referred to as the Shema. S-H-A-M-A. Shema. I've heard people say Shama. But I believe you pronounce it in the Hebrew, Shema. It's a Hebrew word here. And this passage of Scripture, really every little Jewish boy learns this by the time he's 5 years old. This is one of three passages that constitute the Shema. And they quote it every day. They'd get up and they quote it. They had to know this. Jesus referred to this when he was asked. You remember when the lawyer came up to him and said, "What is the greatest commandment?" And he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul. This is the first and the greatest commandment." Well, he was quoting this right here. Obviously, Jesus knew that. Being a Jew himself, all Jewish young men grew up knowing this. Jesus knew more than just this. But he had no qualms about saying this is the greatest commandment. And this is referred to generally in one word, Shema. And the fourth verse says, "Hear." Everybody say, "Hear."
Hear.
That word actually in the Hebrew is Shema. It means to hear and obey. Hear and obey. It doesn't mean just to listen. It means to, like we'd say, "Now listen up. I want you to, you know, do this. I want you to obey this." It's not something to just be heard and memorized, but something to be lived. Like James says in 2nd chapter of James, where he says, "Be doers of the word, not hearers." 1st chapter, 22nd verse. "Be doers of the word, not hearers only." Are you with me? So we hear to do. We hear to obey. We hear so we know what to do and what to obey. Something I say often around here is, I don't read the Bible to find out if I believe. I read the Bible to find out what I believe.
Amen.
I am a believer. That's what I am. I believe in Jesus. Do you?
Yeah.
of course. So that includes all of us. So why do we read the Bible and why do we come to church then? To find out what we believe. Believing's what we do, and this is what we believe. And we yield our lives to it, and we obey it. So it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." This is, excuse me, Deuteronomy 6, chapter 4, verse. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." And the fifth verse, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." You know, I'm often asked, you know, what does it take to serve God? You know, what's the key? What's the element here? So I can be faithful to God and serve God and be committed to God. It's real simple. Love God. Fall in love with God. You know, I think if we're having problems serving God, we've got a love problem. That's what we got. We don't really love Him as much as we do something else. We don't love Him as much as we do someone else. But if I love God with all my heart, it's no problem serving God. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Right. I mean, and loving Him will keep you on the straight and narrow. Man, I remember when I fell in love with Brenda, I'd do anything for Brenda. Stay up all night talking to her on the phone.
Amen.
Hello. I mean, you know, write her name everywhere. I love Brenda. We were high school sweethearts, you know. Didn't finish high school, but we met in school. And subsequently got married, you know, later on. Thank God. We've been married going on 38 years now. Hallelujah. Woohoo.
Amen.
Man. But I just, you know, I just ate, drink, slept Brenda. I thought about Brenda all the time, talked about Brenda. I doodle on papers. I love Brenda. Are you with me? Because I was consumed by her. I lived for her in that sense. Still live for her. She still spends all my money. No, I'm just kidding. Stay with me. But if you love someone, it's no problem serving someone. If you love someone, it's no problem obeying someone. Are you with me? If you love someone, it's no problem giving your life to someone. You know, it's not all the 5,000 things we think of. The first and the greatest commandment is this: "Hear, O Israel, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength." Hallelujah. You get that straight, worship Him. You know, that's a big thing, to worship the Lord. I really do worship Him. I mean, we're singing those songs. I'm singing those songs myself, and I am thinking about Jesus. And sometimes I tear up, and I'm just moved by the Spirit. You know, worshiping God, I love Him. I don't mind thanking Him and praising Him and worshiping Him. And I get wrapped up in the worship just like everybody else because I really do love Jesus. Hello. It's not just mechanical formula. I fell in love with Him. I fell in love with Him over 35 years ago. Hallelujah. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." That means get involved in it. I like that. Put your hands up, clap, dance, do whatever you have to do. But get involved. Worship Him with your whole strength and your whole soul. You ever seen anybody win something on TV? It never stops with the mouth, does it? I mean, they win the lottery or the sweepstakes or the Price is Right, come on down, or whatever the case may be, you know. They don't just say, "Hey, that's me." You know, "Yep, that's me. I want it. Oh, that's my number. Me. Hey, me." Usually they are jumping up and down, running down the aisle, shouting and screaming, and you have to calm them down. Because they're with their whole soul and strength. They're into this. They actually believe this. What always got me about Price is Right, when they come running down and just making a total fool out of themselves on national television, they haven't even been guaranteed they're going to win anything. They just got one more shot at it when they get down to the front. And here we have a guarantee we won it all.
Amen.
Yes. And to worship God, I'm not ashamed, my arms wide open. I love that song. Oh, I love that song. I'm not ashamed. I'll stand. I'll praise Him. Make a stand. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength." And these words, sixth verse. Love this. "And these words, which I command you today, shall be in your heart."
Amen.
You ought to know what God says. You ought to check into what God says. You know, there are certain authors I've read over the years that really have impressed me and made an impact on my life. And I'm fascinated with them. I'm fascinated with the way they've moved me in a certain way, you know, or changed me in a certain way. C.S. Lewis, I love C.S. Lewis. Never met C.S. Lewis. I actually emailed his son-in-law, or stepson, excuse me, his stepson, Douglas Gresham, one time. He responded back to an email that I sent him. He's still alive, his stepson is. But when I went over and spoke in Wales, I spoke at a Bible school in Wales, Great Britain, and in Cardiff, right around Newport, I believe is where it was. Cardiff is where the Bible school was. I preached there, and we went to. I had to go to Oxford to just go by where he lived and get pictures, and the church that he went to for 30 years, the rector he went to, and the gravesite. Got a picture of me by his gravesite. C.S. Lewis helped me in a lot of ways, his spiritual writings, in other words. And I was just, and I've read a couple of biographies about him and a partial autobiography he wrote. You're fascinated when you are moved by someone and you're touched by someone. You're fascinated by them. You want to know all you can know about them. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
I mean, and you, all things C.S. Lewis, you know, all things Jesus. You want to know more about him. So when he says these words, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, you ought to just hunger after his word to find out more about him, because he means so much to you. He's done so much for you. He's changed your life. It's not an effort on my part to know, to study, to find out what Jesus says, to just hang on his words, because I was hung up by him a long time ago.
Yes.
He changed my life.
Yes.
Changed the direction of my life. He forgave me my sin. He saved me. He healed me. He set me free. Hallelujah. Delivered me.
Yes.
From the life I was living. Praise God.
Yes,
got me on the right road. Bleeded me when nobody bleeded me. Took me in when nobody took me in. Oh, I want to know everything I can know about him. Are you with me? I like all things Jesus.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Love reading about him, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I love reading what he said. I love to hang on those words and repeat them and tell people about it.
Amen.
I love that. I love that. See, and that's when he starts out. He doesn't say, get these words in you. First he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. You fall in love with God, the rest of it's, oh, it's a piece of cake. If you fall in love with him, with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, then you'll want to know what he has to say. You'll love come church. You'll love hearing messages about him and what the word says. And then you'll take those and put them in your heart and hold on to them.
Amen.
And that's what he says, these words shall be in your heart. These words. See, and that's I mentioned earlier, this is often referred to even this today as the Shema. It's one of three passages that make up what is called the Shema, hear and obey. And every little Jewish boy learns these, and they can quote these. And even today, if you were to see an Orthodox Jewish, and some not quite so Orthodox, that you said, what's the Shema? And they could probably just rattle it off because they learned it from a little child. What an awesome thing to get inside you when you're a little kid and remember the rest of your life and say over and over and over. The Shema. Hallelujah. Well, he says, these words shall be in your heart, which I command you this day, shall be in your heart, be in your heart, be in your heart. Not just your head, but in your heart. What's in your heart is what you treasure. It's what you talk about all the time. It's what you love.
Yes.
What you guard, what you pick apart and look at and chew on and dissect and tell your friends about. And hello.
Amen.
You know, I'll get a good verse, maybe in another translation. I'll tell Brenda about it, and she'll say, oh, listen to this. She'll read something. And we read a lot of different translations, And of course, I preach out of New King James, but I got a lot of different translations I look at and read. I like the way sometimes different authors bring out a verse or translate a verse, put a little more meaning to it, you know, throw a little more light on it from a different angle. And we love talking about the Word. We love sharing Scriptures in a new light. You ever think about it this way? Oh, listen to this translation. And Amanda's the same way. You know, we'll go back and forth with the Word and talk about it. These words are in our heart. We love them. And that's what he goes on to say here. He says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You know, the New International Version says that you will impress them on your children. I love that. You'll impress them on your children. Woo. But Amplified, what does Amplified say on that? I had to get my glass on Amplified. Her Amplified is small print. The seventh verse says...
Oh, you gotta turn the page.
Okay. Deuteronomy 6:7. It says, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy, you shall whet, like a whet rock, you'll whet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate and teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and the hearts of your children. Wow, oh man, I like that. Isn't that good? I mean, don't let them forget this. Don't let them realize, you know, think this is not important, something we just do on Sunday. No, you make these words so sharp that they penetrate their heart and impress upon them.
Amen.
To mold and make them. You know, often we're accused in church of brainwashing people. Well, of course we are. That's exactly what we do every Sunday and every Wednesday. We brainwash people because the world has got your brain so messed up and filthy, you need to get in here and get it washed out. Are you with me? And if you're just trying to, you know, convince someone of a truth and mold someone into a certain way of thinking, it's called brainwashing. That's what everybody does in one sense, because the world would have you think a certain way.
That's right.
They'd mold you and conform you to their way of thinking. But see, I'd rather just go right to the source of this whole thing, God Almighty, who made everything, the creator and the maker of all that is. And let him shape and mold and make me, and let me shape and mold my children with his word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Woo. So he says this. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. The New Living Translation on that verse, that seventh verse, which says you shall teach them diligently to your children, says you shall repeat them again and again. Again and again. I know the Harrisons have Bible studies at their house all the time with the kids. They get together. In fact, he's called me many times and just ask me questions to make sure he's got it right, you know. Make sure he's... I'm just kidding. We talk a lot about the Word. Michael called me. He calls me all the time about Scripture. We're always going back and forth on Scripture. And he teaches them to his children. Him and LaChrista spend a lot of time with their kids teaching them the Word of God. It is so important to do that. And those children are being raised up to know God and to know His Word and know what His Word says. And when they discipline, and this is so important when you discipline children, tell them why you're disciplined. Show them in the Bible what it says. It's wrong to lie. It's wrong to... Are you with me?
Amen.
I didn't just come up with that. That's what the Bible says. Are you with me? So it says, teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house. Whoo, hallelujah. Sit around the house and talk about the Word. What a new concept. Something we do all the time. When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. That pretty well covers pretty much all day, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Talk the Word. Now, I know we have other interests, and we enjoy God's creation, and I understand that. And we have hobbies and interests, and you know, that's fine, and we should enjoy life. But you know what? We should talk about the Word. I mean, we can do all those things and still give God glory and talk about the Lord. And whoo. This is instruction. Man, it's powerful stuff. Don't forget, this is the one verse there. Jesus said it was the greatest commandment. So obviously he lays a little importance on this, this passage of Scripture. He says, you'll teach them diligently to your children. You should talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Now see, you'll see some Orthodox Jews wearing these little bands with a little box and has Scripture in them. They're obeying that Scripture. And I don't know if we literally meant that or he meant it was so important you wouldn't let it go. But they took it in a very literal sense. And you'll see them even with a little bracelet thing around their arm, and there'll be Scripture inside that little box they have on their arm. They're talking about binding it on your hand and on frontless between your eyes. Personally, I think he probably was talking symbolic of making sure this is important, never leave your head, your hand. But, I mean, if it helps to do all that, fine. And you see that today. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontless between your eyes. They, what? They, these words. These words. In fact, that's literally what they do. It'll be these words, this passage of Scripture called the Shema. It's what they'll put in so boxes on their hands and their forehead and carry around and have with them all the time. And the next verse says, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Everybody say doorpost. That's an interesting word, because that word doorpost is the Hebrew word mezuzah. M-E-Z-U-Z-A-H. That's just transliterated. That's how you'd pronounce it mezuzah. And what that is, that's something they do also. You ever been in an Orthodox Jewish house or been by a Messianic Jewish house where you walk in the door and there's this little bitty cylinder on the right hand of the door, on the doorpost? There's a little bitty cylinder. It's about, oh, I don't know, about yay long. They're all somewhat different, but something about that long. A little bitty thing about like that big around. And it's turned at a little bit of an angle on the right doorpost as you walk in the house. So in Orthodox Jewish houses, they have these. Very common today. I mean, you can buy them, you know, off over the internet. But inside that little cylinder is this scripture and another scripture in Deuteronomy 11. The first two passages of the Shema are in there. And they call it the mezuzah because the word doorpost means is mezuzah. And what they'd do when they'd walk into the house, they put these only on Jewish Orthodox houses. You could put them on. In fact, you could put them on every door in every room except your bathroom. You can't, because that's unclean. You couldn't put it on the doorway of your bathroom. You couldn't put it on public doorways. It could only be on clean, holy, Jewish houses. They did it all the way back in Jesus' time, even. Everybody say mezuzah. Okay. And what they would do, they'd walk in a house and they'd touch it with their fingers and kiss their fingers. And if you were a little child in your daddy's arms, you know, as a little Jew, you know, you're wondering what's going on. I'm sure after a while you'd be doing the same thing before you even learn to talk. And as you grew up, you begin to understand, oh, that's the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children.
Yes.
You shall talk with them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you rise up. Are you with me? And they would quote that and go through that. You know, God, He's the Lord. I love Him. Hallelujah. I talk about Him. His words are in my heart. And you go in and you come out and do the same thing. You come out and you touch it again. Now, they had a proper way to hang it, the top of it. Actually, this is a true story. The rabbis couldn't figure out what was proper to have it straight up or sideways, so they made a compromise and they put it at an angle. That's history. They did. They put it at a slight angle with the top facing in the house or in the room that you're putting it over. Now that's exactly what they did with the blood. Remember the blood in Exodus where he said, take the blood of the lamb for a house, the death of the firstborn, take the blood and put it on the lintels, the doorways. That's the same word, mezuzah. But here in this case, he told them to put the word on there. And just as the blood would protect you, symbolically the word will protect and guard your house. Now, that's all symbolic. You get it in your heart, it'll protect your house. Amen? You quote this and speak this and say this and stand on this, it will guard, it will preserve, and it will protect you. Hey, next time some Jewish person or a Messianic Jew says something about the mezuzah, you'll know what that is.
Amen.
And Shema, you'll know what that is. Mezuzah is just the word doorpost in Hebrew, and it's what they call that passage of Scripture that's stuck in that little cylinder to the right of the door. The other part of that is this. You all know the rest of some of the other scriptures? Deuteronomy 11. The 13th through the 21st verse is the second passage of the Shema. But these two passages make up what is called a mezuzah. It should be on your house. Now, should we do it as Christians? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that this is what they did under the Old Testament, to remind themselves of the law, to remind themselves that God was for them, not against them. He was their God. To remind them, you know, that He was the Lord. Are you with me? And Jesus even quoted back to it as the greatest commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength. You know, Paul says in Galatians 3:16, he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I like that. So we do let the word dwell in us richly. This theme is all through the Scripture. Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they, my words, are life to those that find them. And they, my words, are health to all their flesh. Keep their heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:20 through 23 tells us that. And that's a theme you see all through the Scripture. Notice this. Y'all getting something out of this?
Yes.
All right. learn a little Jewish culture and custom along with this. And you know, Christianity has Jewish roots. You do understand that, don't you? That everybody was a Jew before Jesus came along, and Jesus was a Jew? You know, often people, the Middle Ages, you know, they got way off in the Crusades, and they would call Jews, you know, Christ killers. But Jesus himself was a Jew. And all the disciples were Jews. All the 12 apostles were Jews. So it wasn't all the Jews who killed Jesus. Jesus himself was a Jew, and all of his followers were Jews. But his followers and Jesus, of course, himself, were completed Jews. At the resurrection, praise God. And of course, Jesus was God, and we know that. Well, Deuteronomy 11:13 kind of repeats this to a degree, and he says this in the 13th verse. Now, this passage, 13th through the 21st verse here, is a second passage that's a part of the Shema, and it's the completion of the mezuzah that they'd put on the door. These two passages would be in that little cylinder that they would touch with their hands and kiss with their lips. And they'd say something else as they walked in and out. You'll have to wait to the end of this message to get to that. 13th verse. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. And I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. Think about it. Every day. They touch it. Kiss their fingers. Love God with all my heart and all my soul, all my strength. Going to teach seed to my kids. I'm going to talk about this everywhere I go. I've got it on my doorpost. And God will bless me. And God will prosper me. And God will cause the rain to come down on my land in its season. And God will bless my crops. And he'll bless my cattle, my produce. The Lord will do that because I love him. Because I put him first. Because he is my God. Because I have not forgotten him. He will bless me every day. He'll bless me. See, they had this mentality that God wanted to bless them. They loved him, and he loved them. I love God, and he loves me. Amen. Are you with me? And he goes on, he makes it very plain. He said, take heed to yourself, 16th verse, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Let's get one thing straight here. There's no hope anywhere else except in God. You go anywhere else, you're not going to be blessed. You're not going to prosper. I don't care how good it looks or what everybody tells you you ought to do. Amen. Don't you turn aside from God and loving him with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And his words, which you should have in your heart, which you've been talking about all day long, and you've been telling your kids all day long. Don't turn aside from that. If you'll do that, I'll bless you. I'll increase you. I'll cause the rain to come down your land. Hallelujah. I'll multiply your wine, your oil, and send grass in your fields. But take heed now to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. That's why they put that on that doorpost. So they would not forget. Every time they walked in the house, they were reminded of it. Every time they stopped at the door, they would kiss that, touch that thing and kiss their fingers. And to walk in. Every time they walk out, they'd stop. Wait a minute, I'm going out in the world now. I need God's blessing on me. The Lord, I love him with all my heart. He's one God, and he's for me, not against me. They'd walk out that door and touch it, kiss those fingers, and remind themselves again that God was God. They served God when they walked out of that house. They served God when they walked in that house. There was no difference. Wherever they were, they served God. Are you with me? And God bless them.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Take heed to yourself, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens. Now, why would he do that? Because you left him. Not trying to teach you something, not trying to work out something in your life. You walked out from under his blessing. You turned aside and served other gods. Lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, shut up the heavens so that there be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. Therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. New Living Translation says, commit yourselves completely to them. I like that. Commit yourselves completely to these words. Lay them up in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, and you shall write them on the doorpost, masusa, there it is again, of your house and on your gates, 21st verse, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. Wow. Man, I love that. So if I put him first, and get his word in my heart, love him with all my heart, see, all my strength, all my soul, commit my life to Jesus, and then get his word in my heart and talk about it all day long everywhere I go to everybody I see. You know, talk about it when I sit down and when I rise up and when I walk by the way. If I will really, really do that, he says he'll bless me. And my days will be long. I mean, you can't disassociate favor, real prosperity, real success. You can't disassociate long life, health, all those things. You cannot disassociate them from God, because it is loving God and serving God and getting his word in you and living his word and committing to it that causes those things to happen. I don't know where our concept comes from that God's not that way, but anybody that was raised up with the scripture, Jews know God blesses them. We often accuse them of making money and turning a dollar thing to set their hand to. Well, that's because they understand that if they serve God, God will bless them. Where do we lose that concept? Hello? There's challenges, I understand. I mean, we get sucker punched sometimes, but you know, if you'll get back in the Word and stand on the Word, you know, you can come out of that mess. Amen. Hallelujah. That your days may, and the days of your children may multiply in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. Now, I'm not going to turn to the other passage. You can turn there or write notes if you want to. The complete Shema is the Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, and Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 21, and then the other passage of Scripture is Numbers 15, 37 through 41. Those three passages make up what is called the Shema. The Masusa that they had on the side of the door were just the first two passages that I read, but they would also quote another verse as they walked in and out, and that's in Psalms 121. Is this helping you? Now, I just think about the Jewish tradition of doing this and how powerful these scriptures are. And here we are, born again, children of the living God. He's not just our Lord. He is our Father. Hallelujah. Amen. We're not just serving him from the outside per se. We are his children, praise God. And we're blessed in Christ. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. My goodness, he's more for us now than he ever was. Yes. For anybody. He has joined us together and reconciled us into Christ. That's exactly what 2 Corinthians 5:17 goes on to say. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things have become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now we are the ambassadors for Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Touch that and kiss that. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
I'm a new creature. Thank you, Jesus. I serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. He supplies all my need now, Amen, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Woo!
The Lord is my shepherd. I know who the Lord is. His name is Jesus, Yeshua. Yeshua HaMashiach. Okay. Psalms 121. This is an awesome psalm in and of itself. And if we had time, I'd read. Well, can I read the whole thing? It's just 8 verses. They didn't quote the whole thing, but they quoted one verse out of this. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. That's what that painting back there in the back of the church is, a painting of Tina Cox painted that, and we started doing the V money in 1988, and we all started pooling that together and paying for buildings and concrete and everything else. Just a God idea. It's another story all in and of itself. But she She painted that painting back there, and there's the geese flying in a V. If you ever stop by, you ought to look at that. But that is Jesus with me. I love that painting. Jesus with me pointing up at the geese and the hills. And it's based on the scripture, I'll lift my eyes to the hills from which cometh my help. Hallelujah.
That's awesome.
Good stuff. Yeah, and that takes on new meaning now. A lot of you probably just walked by and never even paid attention to it. There was a reason that Tina painted that, and that was the story behind that. But I'll lift up my eyes to the hills from which comes my help. My help comes from the Lord.
Amen.
Who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Thank God he never slumbers. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. That's why I like to always say, why stay up all night and worry about something? Jesus never goes to sleep. The Lord never slumbers. No sense in both of you staying awake all night. Go to sleep. He'll stay awake and take care of it for you. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is the shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. And this last verse, when they would touch the mezuzah with those passages of scripture in it and kiss their lips as they would walk into the house and as they walk out of the house, they would say this, the Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Isn't that good? To this day, they still do that. I mean, that's an Orthodox Jewish tradition, and mezuzahs are very popular amongst Jewish families. They have those scriptures, and they're so committed to the word that God gave them. How much more should we not be committed to the word of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the fulfillment of the law, the Messiah that has come, that paid the price, the one that was prophesied through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all the way through Malachi, the one who came and died for our sins. Oh, my. I'm telling you, we ought to trust God and ought to know that God will take care of us and He will preserve our going out and our coming in from this time forth even forevermore. The New American Standard says He will guard. I love that. The Lord will guard your going in and your coming out. In other words, God will guard us in our house. And God will guard us when we go outside this house. Are you with me? God will keep us and He will preserve us as we walk in this house. And He will keep us and He will preserve us as we go out of this house. Why? Because we love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our strength. And His words, we have put them inside our hearts and we have taught them to our children. And we talk of them all the day. When we sit down, we rise up, and when we walk by the way, hallelujah, and we got it on our door. That's what they're saying, you know. Touch that and kiss it and then say, the Lord preserve you and keep you. You're going in and you're coming out. Well, that's good stuff, isn't it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I think about that and how powerful that is and how that, you know, how impressive that is when you think about the commitment that the Jewish people had to God and to His Word. How they instituted it in their daily life and kept themselves in remembrance of it. You know, you need to keep yourself in remembrance of God's Word. Whatever it takes, put it on your refrigerator, on the mirror in your bathroom, whatever the case may be, where you have it in front of you all the time. I love writing scriptures out on cards. I love laminating them. You know, I do this in my Bible all the time. I ain't had this Bible. I don't know how long I've had this Bible. They don't ever last two or three years. Actually, I've had this since, I've had this Bible 8 months. It's already coming apart. But what I'll do, I'll put in there, you know, I've got all these scriptures on healing. I'm healed. And I just wrote out all kinds of scriptures and typed them up on healing and just personalized them. You know, all these scriptures are on I'm prosperous, according to God's Word now, not just mind over matter, what God says. And I had to put a couple more because I couldn't get them all in there. On salvation, I've got some over here. I just tape them in the back of my Bible where I got a quick reference and I can go through them. They're personal confessions that I make. And I actually got the mezuzah in here. And the Shema, yeah, there's the mezuzah right there. I just taped it inside the Bible here. You know, whatever it does, it takes to get the Word in you, whatever it is you're dealing with, I'm quick to put whatever situation I'm going through. My first help is from God.
Amen.
It's got to be from God. So I've got to first find out what God says and start going over it and getting it in me and start saying it and confessing it. Whatever it takes to do that, I will do that. I'll just put it all through there. A lot of times I'll just mull over these, go over them several times a day and say them out loud because that's what the Word says. That's what God says. And I don't care what anybody else thinks, but I'm very much concerned about what God thinks. Are you with me?
Amen.
And I may not make everybody else happy, and everybody else may think I'm a little nutty, but as long as God's happy with me, that's all I care about. Are you with me? I'm not trying to make enemies, and I'm not trying to make people hate me, but I want to do everything I can that God can love me, that I would be in agreement with Him, that I'd have His favor. Amen. See, and that's what they knew. They knew they needed His favor when they walked into their house and when they walked out of their house. And the only way to get that was to love Him with all their heart and have His word in their heart. That speaks volumes to us. Amen?
Amen.
I'm impressed by that. I think about their culture and their custom. What an awesome thing. And we should pray for Israel and pray for the Jewish nation that they get saved, that they come to know the Messiah, because He has come. And as a nation, as a whole, they missed Him. They missed the Messiah. And yet they're still dedicated to all the symbolism and all the prophecies concerning Him, waiting for Him to show up, but He's already showed up. I think about what Paul said, you know, in Romans 10, he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believeth." Hallelujah. We ought to pray for Israel, amen? But we ought to be as dedicated or more to God as they are to the God of the Old Testament. Hallelujah.